Israeli forces killed three Palestinians near Nablus, raising to more than 80 the number of people they shot dead in the occupied West Bank this year. Iran says its agreement with Saudi Arabia to restore bilateral ties could facilitate a ceasefire in Yemen and establish an inclusive government there. The BBC in hot water after suspending one of its sports presenters who accused the UK government of using Nazi-era rhetoric in its immigration policy. I'm your host, Behrouz Najafi. Welcome. Israeli forces have shot dead three more Palestinians in the occupied West Bank, and that brings to 82 the number of people that the Israeli soldiers and settlers killed this year. Our correspondent Ramallah tells us more.
Israeli soldiers from the Golani Brigade had deployed near the Israeli military checkpoint of Surra, West Nablus, when there had been clashes between Palestinian fighters there and the Israeli soldiers at that area. They claimed that Palestinian fighters opened fire at Israeli soldiers and a military position there. And then the Israeli forces succeeded to murder three Palestinian fighters and wounded a fourth and had taken him for investigation. The identity of the four Palestinians, including the three who had been killed, had not been revealed yet. The Palestinian Ministry of Health didn't confirm if it's true three Palestinians had been killed or not. This is an Israeli military statement who confirmed that the Israeli soldiers killed the three Palestinians this morning near Nablus and wounded and arrested a fourth Palestinian there. Anyways, the Palestinians in the city of Nablus had declared a day of mourning there and a general strike, but the identity of the four Palestinians had not been revealed yet.
Thousands of Israeli protesters have hit the streets for the 10th consecutive week to express their anger at judicial reforms proposed by the far-right cabinet of Prime Minister Netanyahu. Protesters insist that they will continue to rally as long as the cabinet does not announce a freeze on the legislation. Organizers have vowed to intensify the demonstrations in the coming days. The protests turned violent in Tel Aviv and elsewhere on several occasions. Netanyahu returned to power as the regime's prime minister in late December, heading a coalition of far-right and extremist parties. The proposed reforms would limit the Supreme Court's ability to rule against the cabinet's decisions. Israel has launched fresh air raids in Syria, this time targeting western and central province of Tartus and Hama. The Syrian military says that the air defenses intercepted some of the missiles. The attack has left three Syrian army personnel wounded and some material damage. Israel frequently performs aerial attacks on Syria. Damascus says that it reserves the right to respond. It's repeatedly complained to the United Nations, urging the international body to take action against Tel Aviv's aggression. Peter Ford, former British ambassador to Syria, says that apart from airstrikes in Syria, Israel is trying to wreak havoc in the country by backing terrorist groups operating against the Damascus government.
Israel has provided not just medical help, and that was done openly. The jihadis fled across the occupied Golan to Israeli medical centers. But more covertly, of course, the Israelis have been providing weapons, planning, communications, and other assistance to the variety of militias, extremist, fundamentalist militias, which based themselves in Syria and which are now, thankfully, corralled, cornered in the northwest corner of Syria. And from there, it's less possible for Israel to provide assistance. Nevertheless, Israel continues to provide propaganda support, diplomatic support. They put pressure on countries like Britain to give support to the jihadis and the people behind them, in the people who control Idlib. So the covert war goes on, with Israel providing assistance in many, many forms to ISIS and other jihadi groups.
Iran says its oil exports have reached their highest level since the U.S. reimposed sanctions on the country 4 years ago. The oil minister says that Iran exported 83 million more oil barrels in the past 11 months compared to the same period last year. Javad Oji says that it also represents 190 million more oil barrels exported compared to 2 years ago. The Iranian ministry attributed the spike to exploiting oil capacities, marketing, and modified contracts. In 2018, the U.S. reimposed sanctions on Tehran after unilaterally withdrawing from the 2015 agreement known as the JCPOA. The agreement between Iran and Saudi Arabia to restore relations will speed up achievement of a ceasefire in Yemen and establishment of an inclusive government in that country. Iran's permanent mission to the UN made the announcement in a statement. The statement added that the agreement will have many positive effects on bilateral, regional, and international levels. The deal proves Iran's determination to use all regional capacities to promote all-out peace and stability and meet the collective interests of regional governments and nations. The agreement between Tehran and Riyadh was reached through a deal mediated by China. The deal will see the two countries restore diplomatic ties within 2 months and reopen their embassies. The agreement has received wide welcome from the international community, but it has angered Israeli officials. The occupying regime's opposition figures say that it reflects the complete failure of the new extremist cabinet's foreign policy. Journalist Eja Krishnaswamy told us earlier that China brokering a deal between Iran and Saudi Arabia could have repercussions for the U.S. and Israel in the region.
What I think is that China kind of finally is ready to assert its role as the leader in Asia. And of course, Iran is a very good ally, and Saudi Arabia is probably the strongest ally the U.S. has ever had. And if they are able to distance Saudi Arabia from the U.S., of course, it is better for China in the long run, because the U.S. has explained how it wants to be the aggressor against China and limit China's growth. And so I think this is just the next stage. And I personally see that this is a big step, because the Saudi-Iranian diplomatic relations was in 2016, when Sheikh Nimr got executed, they cut off diplomatic relations. So this is a very big first step. And of course, the biggest player in the Middle East who's going to feel the negative repercussions from this is Israel, who already explained that they're not very happy with this deal.
Iran has opened the mass production line for a new domestically developed training jet. Our correspondent has the details.
A ribbon-cutting ceremony to go down in history, opening the production line of Iran's first homegrown jet trainer, Yasin. According to Iran's defense minister, Brigadier General Mohammad Reza Ashtiani, the jet trainer is capable of carrying out combat missions as well as other tactical aerial warfare actions such as close air support or CAS, air-to-ground actions against hostile targets in close proximity of friendly forces.
Training good pilots is extremely important, and now with this homegrown jet trainer, we have technologically evolved significantly. This is considered a major step for our Air Force. The training period will now be shorter and more comprehensive.
Prior to this, jet pilot training was done outside Iran, and due to Western and U.S. sanctions, Iranian pilots could not receive training abroad.
We did ask for assistance, but no country in the world helped us. However, at the end of the day, it worked out for the best because we were able to develop the technology that we needed ourselves. Knowledge-based companies help us a lot. In particular, I have to point out the design of the engine and also its aerodynamic design. All in all, Yasin is about 800 kilometers lighter than our first prototype, which is a significant achievement.
Iran started designing jet trainers over 10 years ago. Yasin is the second generation of a prototype that was unveiled in 2019. The new version now includes state-of-the-art avionics, engine, landing gear, and full cockpit devices.
With all the equipment installed, this training jet is fully equipped and it can be used for training pilots in all different levels.
But there's more to Yasin than just training fighter jet pilots.
It is also a question of prestige. This jet trainer was made by our own scientists and inventors. Knowledge-based companies played a very important part. Obviously, it means great economic benefits, but other than that, it shows that we can stand on our own feet. This is the most important message.
In the next 2 years, three more Yasin jet trainers will be produced based on the requirements of Iran's Air Force.
Iran has made great achievements in the field of aviation, and this is a symbol of self-sufficiency of the Islamic Republic. Gisumisha Ahmadi, Tehran.
A movie unveiling the misinformation campaign against Iran has been screened in central Rome. It's trying to elucidate the myths and popular misconceptions surrounding Iran as described by most Western media.
On Saturday, a film called Target Iran was screened at a cinema in the Italian capital, not far from the iconic Colosseum. The film debunks misinformation and false claims about Iran, which the director of the movie, senior journalist Fulvio Grimaldi, describes as a country which is determined to maintain its serenity in the international system. Former BBC reporter Grimaldi has visited Iran many times in the past years, gaining a profound knowledge of the Iranian society.
I have traveled across Iran. I know the country very well. Its people, its women, its workers, its professionals. Iran is a lively place with great dignity, a country which foreign forces constantly try to destabilize. Iran does not bend, does not conform. That's why imperialistic powers cannot stand it.
The film Target Iran elucidates how, since the 1979 revolution, Iran has often been the target of smear campaigns orchestrated by governments and intelligence agencies in an attempt to topple the Islamic Republic. In his work, Grimaldi also explains how unjustified sanctions have affected the lives of Iranians throughout the years, with severe repercussions on the country's economy and healthcare system.
Iran, together with the other BRICS countries, bugs NATO and the US. In response, lies on Iran are what go around in most Western media. People here want to know what the truth is.
The Italian media, the Western media, have always been biased against Iran. It is not true what the media say, that the situation of Iranian women is dire, that they are the target of repression by authorities. People at the screening tonight want to know the truth.
There is like an oppressive blanket of clouds on our information. Important truths have been kept from us. It is crucial that we know what's going on for real.
Grimaldi's film also presents Iran's great history through various time periods and rulers.
Recently, an increasing number of Italians have started to question the reliability of the media, particularly that of mainstream broadcasters and the press. Today, more than ever, people accurately choose their sources of information, as many no longer believe everything they see on the news is the truth. Max Civili, Rome.
Ukraine and Russia both claiming to have killed hundreds of enemy troops in a single day of fighting for control over the eastern Ukrainian city of Bakhmut. A Ukrainian military spokesman says that more than 220 Russian soldiers were killed in the town on Saturday. The Russian Defense Ministry also saying that 210 Ukrainian troopers got killed in the wider Donetsk region. The fighting in Donetsk is now focusing on Bakhmut, and there a small river dividing the town is reportedly the new front line. And that after pro-Russia forces advanced on its eastern side. Capturing Bakhmut has been a key objective of Moscow, which gives Russian forces control over almost the entire Donbass region, but Ukraine saying its forces are holding the Russian offensive back. The BBC's director general says that he won't resign after a backlash to the removal of Gary Lineker, the popular host of the broadcaster's Cornerstone soccer program. Tim Davies says, "The situation should be resolved calmly." Lineker was suspended after accusing the UK government of using Nazi-era rhetoric in its new immigration policy. His ouster set off a staff boycott, which forced BBC to curtail major portions of its weekend sports coverage. Many politicians and public figures have slammed the move, accusing the state-funded broadcaster of buckling to the demands of the ruling Conservatives. The French Senate has approved the government's controversial pension reforms bill, and this hours after hundreds of thousands of protesters took to the streets across the nation to oppose President Macron's unpopular plan. The bill was passed by the upper chamber of the parliament by 195 votes to 112. Its senators stepped closer to turning into law. Earlier on Saturday, scuffles broke out between police and demonstrators protesting the bill. Protesters hurled rocks as police used tear gas to disperse them in Paris. Similar demonstrations were held in other cities. The government is seeking to raise retirement age from 62 to 64, arguing that it's the only way to prevent the collapse of the current system. This brings us to the end of this news broadcast from Tehran. Thank you for being with us.
Follow us on social media to stay up to date on the latest global developments. You can keep in touch with us by following us on Twitter at twitter.com/ParsTodayEN. You can also follow IRIB English Radio on Instagram via instagram.com/ParsTodayEnglish.
About yourself.
I'm Eric Shumanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of physics. My dad, who taught me the art of writing.
Listeners special.
In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and warm greetings to you all. Welcome to another edition of Listeners Special on this beautiful Sunday, March 12, 2023. I'm Atefe Erfani, hosting this program today. As you may know, Listeners Special is the Sunday program where your views are presented through your emails, your letters, and your messages from around the world. So please contact us and tell us what you think about our programs. Tell us what program or programs you like the best. And if you have any message for our great listeners around the world, you can record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard in this program. Please do remember, Listeners Special is your program. It's your views that are important. Back. This is Listeners Special, and you just heard a nice piece of music from southern Iran. And here we've received reception reports from around the world, which I mention your names. Here we've received reception reports from Muhammad Brielle from Malaysia, one of our old and regular listeners. Konstantin Barsenko from Russia, one of our regular listeners, has sent us a reception report, and Jahangir Alam from Bangladesh. Also, one of our regular listeners has sent us reception reports. So, Konstantin, Jahangir, and Muhammad, thank you very much for sending us these reception reports. We want you to know how much we value your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio. And, of course, here we have many emails from around the world, which I mentioned some of your names here. And later during the program, I will read these great emails. From China, we've received an email from Wu Xianun. From India, we have an email from Anand Mohan, one of our regular listeners, of course. Najmuddin, again from India, has sent us an email. Rob den Boer from the Netherlands, one of our regular listeners, has sent us an email. And Robens Fros Pedroso from Brazil has sent us an email. So stay with us, please. I will be back with you. Welcome back. Wu Xianun from China has sent us an email. Let's see what Wu Xianun says. I am a radio listener in Shenzhen, China. I hope you can issue me a radio listening certificate card, QSL, to prove my listening. I hope your station provides the listeners with a QSL card, the schedule flag, etc. First of all, salam and warm greetings to you from Tehran, the capital of the Islamic Republic of Iran. Wu Xianun from China. And thank you very much for this email. As you might know, since sending any material, including paper QSL cards, schedule or flags, to our listeners is halted due to the pandemic, so please accept our electronic QSL as verification. And please refer to our website to find the frequency schedule. Anyway, we wish you all the best, and we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. Wu Xianun from China. Thank you. Anand Mohan from India, one of our old and regular listeners, has sent us an email. Anand says, dear friends, please find the recorded program and reception report enclosed to this email for your verification. Your Sunday's Listeners Special is my favorite program. If I ever miss this program on shortwave, I make sure to tune in via internet. Salam and warm greetings to you, Anand Mohan from India. Please accept our gratitudes to you for this great email. It's really good to hear that you are interested in Listeners Special program. Thank you for your great option. I mean, the Sunday program, Listeners Special. Please accept our electronic QSL, EQSL, as verification. We wish you all the best, and we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. Anand Mohan from India. So after a short break, I will be back with you. We'll be right back. Welcome back. From India, we've received another email from Najmuddin, one of our old and regular listeners. Najmuddin says, "Dear staff, Assalamu alaikum. News and News Highlights program is always my favorite. This week, you had a special discussion in your radio about the prophethood of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, that I found it very informative. Kindly send me new program and frequency schedule, printed QSL card with IRIB souvenirs. Thank you." Salam and warm greetings to you, Najmuddin from India, and appreciations to you for writing this email to IRIB English Radio. So, you like the news section and news highlights program very much, and that's great. Thank you for letting us know what you think about our programs. So keep up the good work and write to us soon and tell us your views about our programs. And as you might know, sending any material, including IRIB souvenirs and paper QSL cards, on behalf of IRIB English Radio to our listeners in the time of pandemic is halted temporarily, but after the pandemic, we will soon send you the souvenirs of IRIB English Radio, but in the time being, please accept our EQSL as verification. Anyway, thank you for this email, Najmuddin from India. From the Netherlands, we've received an email from Rob Den Boer. Rob says, "To the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran English Service, it's my pleasure to confirm your broadcast, and I hope my report is correct. My name is Rob Den Boer, and I live in the Netherlands. Please listen to my audio recording attached, waiting for a reply from your site. Salam and warm greetings to you from Tehran, the capital of the Islamic Republic of Iran. Rob Den Boer from the Netherlands, many thanks for this email and many thanks for the audio recording you sent to us. We are always by your side to reply to you and we welcome any suggestion from you about our broadcast. Rob Den Boer from the Netherlands, we wish you all the best and we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. And after a short break, I will be back with you. Robins Ferraz Pedroso from Brazil, as I said, has sent us an email. Robins says, "Dear friends, I have had the pleasure of listening to your station during its transmissions a few days ago in English. I am a shortwave listener from Brazil and I am 52 years old. I will be grateful if you send me a QSL verifying this reception report. That's to say, you please send a letter or a card where you include the specification that I have really heard your station, the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran's broadcasting. Salam and warm greetings to you from Tehran, Rubens Fratz Pedroso from Brazil. Warm appreciations to you for this email. We're so glad that the signals of IRIB English Radio are heard in every corner of the world, especially in your country, Brazil. Thank you very much for this email. And please accept our electronic QSL as verification to this email. Write to us soon and tell us your views about IRIB English Radio programs. We wish you all the best." It was great to be with you. But before ending this edition of Listeners Special, I do send my warm gratitudes and appreciations to those of our great listeners who have sent us reception reports as well as emails from around the world, including Konstantin Barsenko from Russia, Jahangir Alam from Bangladesh, Mohammad Riel from Malaysia, Wu Xianan from China, Anand Mohan from India, Najmuddin from India, Rob Den Boer from the Netherlands, and Robens Fratz Petrosa from Brazil. Many thanks for being with us. Please keep in touch with your favorite program, Listeners Special, and IRIB English Radio. We wish you all the best. Goodbye, and God bless you.
Dear listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We will be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send us emails to englishradio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at parstoday.ir/en. Our phone number is 0098-21-2201-3720. Thank you all for being with IRIB English Radio.
وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا.
Your Lord has decreed that you shall not worship anyone except Him, and He has enjoined kindness to parents.
For humanity.
Sayyid Abdullah Al-Musawi.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Brothers, sisters, dear listeners, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to IRIB English Radio, and you are listening to the program For Humanity. We are looking at verses in the Quran where it promotes human rights through traits that me and you need to have. One of these verses was in chapter 2, Al-Baqarah, in verse 195, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَنفُقُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ and وَلَا تَلْقُوا بِأَنفُسِكُمْ التَّهْلِكَ. And He says, do not throw yourself in harm's way. Spend in the way of Allah and don't throw yourselves in harm's way. وَأَحْسَنُوا and be good, do good. إِنَّ اللَّهِ يُحُبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Surely, indeed, Allah loves the doers of good, or good doers. The verse that says, or began with, and spend in the way of Allah. In the Islamic teachings, spending in the way of Allah refers to contributing to charitable causes and helping those in need. This can include giving the poor, supporting social welfare programs, or contributing to community development projects. By doing so, we are fulfilling our duties to help those less fortunate and contributing to the betterment of society. At the same time, the verse also cautions us against refraining from spending in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as this can lead to self-destruction. This highlights the importance of balancing one's own needs and desires with the needs of others and the greater good of society. So it's not just me, because I don't live by myself, I live amongst people. So I have to think of other people as well. So Allah says, give, anfiqu. And if you don't do infaq, then obviously you're not only harming yourself, but you're harming other people as well. So the verse encourages people to do good deeds. And when people do good deeds, obviously Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I will love them. يُحُبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. And this good deeds includes acts of kindness, compassion, serving others, and the list goes on when it comes to good deeds. So how can I and you contribute to charitable causes and helping those in need? Contributing to charitable causes and helping those in need is an important, sometimes essential, sometimes compulsory way to fulfill the obligation of spending in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And obviously each of these has its own place and time. The verse itself mentions that. So there are ways that we can contribute. One of the ways that we can contribute is to donate to charities. We can donate to people directly. We have plenty of organizations that are relief organizations. People around the world, in many countries, they might be going through difficulties. They might be suffering. They might, I don't know, sometimes natural disasters happen. Sometimes poverty hits hard. Sometimes the country itself facing financial, economical pressure from other countries. So they might be in need. There might be people in need. My job, your job, to donate to these people, help them out. Let's take a short break and then we will continue.
Dear listeners, you are listening to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. You can send us your emails, comments, and questions at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters, and you are listening to the program For Humanity. So we said that sometimes we need to contribute by donating. Sometimes I can say, well, I have nothing to donate to mankind. At least I can volunteer. I can volunteer my time. I can volunteer my skills to support those causes. Whether it is by serving a meal at a soup kitchen, for example, or providing pro bono legal services, or doing some paperwork. There are many ways I can help people. I don't have to spend my pocket money or whatever I have to live on. No, I can do other works to help other people. And sometimes when it comes to us, when someone asks us for help, it's like, okay, I haven't got money to help them, so I'm done. No, but there are other ways you can help. There are other ways you can relieve their issues and their problems and their difficulties. So this is what something that the Quran wants me and you to do. Also, the ayah wants me and you to look for opportunities to give in to your local community, such as supporting, you know, normal projects. Sometimes we have homeless people, sometimes we have hungry families, sometimes we have many people in our community that are disadvantaged. Many families in our communities are disadvantaged when it comes to, you know, things. We can create programs to help them out. So we also can do something as well.
And we also need to remember that every small act of kindness and charity can make a big difference in the lives of those who are in need. And this difference is even mentioned in the Quran. Allah says, فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ, he who does an atom weight of good, خَيْرًا يَرَى, you will see plenty of good, not only in this world, but also in the hereafter. So don't say, well, that's a very small thing, I won't do it because, you know, what's the use, what's the benefit? Maybe you don't see the benefits, maybe you don't understand the benefits, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does. So we have to keep that in mind as well. When we look at this verse and we look at contributing to people and helping them in need, it promotes greater equality and justice in society by providing resources and support to those who are in need. We can help to address some of the systematic issues that contribute to poverty, for example, or discrimination or inequality. This can include providing access to food, for example, shelter, education, healthcare, and so on and so forth, as well as advocating for policies and programs that promote human rights and social justice. At the same time, supporting charitable causes and supporting those in need can provide or create a sense of community and sense of belonging in that community, which obviously will promote a greater respect and compassion for others, and ultimately contributes to a more just and equitable society for all. And this is exactly what we need. We'll leave it here and continue in other episodes. Until then, stay with us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
اللهم صل على محمد وآله اللهم صل على محمد وآله
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
In the limelight.
Syria's foreign ministry has recently condemned the unannounced visit of the top U.S. military officer to a U.S. base in northeast Syria as illegal and a flagrant violation of the country's sovereignty. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites for further details. Stay tuned for more. Kayhan International wrote, is the UN aware of the U.S. lawlessness in violating the territorial integrity of one of its sovereign independent members? It is, but the world body is helpless and doesn't have the guts to confront and condemn Washington's crimes against humanity. Recently, a senior most American military general entered Syria uninvited, with hostile intentions against the elected government in Damascus, and insolently expressed support for rebels and terrorists. It was not a stealth visit, but a blatant trespassing of Syrian soil in broad daylight with the TV crews covering his crime. Moreover, Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Mark Milley, flew on a military aircraft from the illegal Zionist entity where he had openly condoned the Zionist regime's terrorism in the region against the Palestinians, against the Lebanese, against the Syrians, and against the Iraqis, as well as threats against the Islamic Republic of Iran. Damascus has strongly denounced the U.S. general's illegal visit and his parting with the separatist forces in northeastern Syria on the pretext of fighting the Daesh terrorists, when the fact of the matter is that all these Takfiri terroristic outfits have been created and armed by Washington to destabilize Syria, Iraq, and other countries. The statement said, Milley's visit was a flagrant violation of the sovereignty and integrity of Syrian territory, and demanded that the U.S. regime immediately cease its systematic and continued violation of international law and support for separatist armed groups. It should be noted that about 900 U.S. troops are deployed in several bases and posts across northeastern Syria without the permission of the government in Damascus. The American troops are notorious for their frequent attacks on civilians and their stealing of huge quantities of oil, which they are smuggling across the border to their base in Iraq. The U.S. is the chief violator of human rights and supports thugs, terrorists, and traitors in independent world countries in a bid to destabilize them. Syria is the frequent target of missile attacks from the Zionist regime, which is supported by the U.S. in its criminal activities. Meanwhile, RT noted U.S. lawmakers have voted down a bill seeking to withdraw all American troops from Syria, opting to continue the years-long military occupation despite repeated objections from the government in Damascus, which has rejected the armed presence as illegal. While 56 Democrats joined 47 Republicans to back the GOP-sponsored bill, the Syria War Powers Resolution failed to pass in 103-321 votes, recently facing a stiff bipartisan opposition. Introduced by Florida Republican Matt Gaetz last month, the legislation would have directed President Joe Biden to remove the 900 U.S. troops still deployed to the West Asian nation within a period of 6 months. Arguing that Congress never authorized military action in Syria to begin with, Gaetz slammed lawmakers on both sides of the aisle following the ill-fated vote. He said on the House floor, "There is no role for the United States of America in Syria. We are not a Middle Eastern power. We have tried to build a democracy out of sand, blood, and Arab militias," he said, adding, "Time and again, the work we do does not reduce chaos. Oftentimes, it causes chaos, the very chaos that then subsequently leads to terrorism. While today's vote may have failed, my fight to end forever wars and bring our troops home has only just begun." Opponents of the War Powers Resolution voiced fears that a U.S. pullout could mean the revival of terrorist groups in the region. Democrat Gregory Mix claimed that while he does not support an indefinite deployment, a withdrawal would be premature. He did not offer an alternative time frame for when U.S. forces should leave the country, having occupied Syrian territory intermittently for nearly a decade, despite years of vocal objections from the government in Damascus. Gaetz said several prior Inspector General reports concluded a resurgence of ISIS in Syria was unlikely, instead claiming the American presence has served as a recruiting tool for the infamous terrorist cell, saying, "We have to also acknowledge Syria and Iraq are two countries on the planet Earth where we have done the most to fund ISIS. We give weapons to these so-called moderate rebels, and it turns out they're not that moderate," he continued, referring to President Barack Obama's policy to arm rebel groups seeking to oust the president. many of which kept close ties with Al-Qaeda and other terrorist factions. Though the U.S. Congress never approved troop deployments in Syria, three successive presidents have cited the military authorization passed after the September 11 attacks in 2001 to support the decision. The same measure has been invoked as legal justification for more than 40 U.S. military operations in at least 19 countries around the world since 2001, according to the Congressional Research Service.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz for the Indian subcontinent, and FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and Iran Sat or Bat 5, and via the Internet. Our Internet address is parstoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Every night and every day, every night and every day, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah.
IRIB English Radio, a herald of unity and solidarity amongst Islamic denominations.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program Hadith of the Day here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we are going to be looking at a very beautiful hadith. And this hadith is about the fear of Allah and His virtue. And it's been transmitted from Imam Sajjad alayhi salam. You know, fear or khawf, the khawf of God, the fear of Allah, this is one of the great virtues in Islam. It's so important that it is the it is the source of wisdom and knowledge. For example, we have, this is a very famous hadith from the Prophet. It's been narrated that he said, Ra'sul hikmat makhafatullah. The foundation or the basis or the beginning of wisdom is the fear of God. In this beautiful hadith, Imam Sajjad alayhi salam says, O son of Adam, you will always be with the good, as long as fear of Allah is your motto and grief your cloak. Fear of Allah is one of these virtues that has been lauded and praised in many places and in many instances. In a hadith, it's been narrated that Imam Ali alayhi salam said, fear is the garment of the Gnostics. Al-Khawfu Jilbabul Arifin. So I guess the basic message of all of these hadiths is that there's a connection between fear of God, the fear of Allah, and knowledge and wisdom, right? These two are somehow tied up with one another. But if we wanted to elaborate on exactly what this fear is, we can refer to a hadith from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said, the believer lies between two fears. A fear of a sin that he has committed in the past and does not know what action Allah has taken with regards to it, and fear for the remainder of his life in which he does not know what destructive sins he may commit. Therefore, he always wakes up in the morning fearful, and it is only fear that reforms him. At the same time, however, we should add the reservation that fear is not the only virtue of a believer. Rather, it's necessary also for a believer to have hope in God and His mercy. And that's why we say that the believer, he lies between hope and fear. The Prophet has been narrated to have said, if you knew the extent of Allah's mercy, you would have depended on it and performed only a few good deeds. And if you knew the extent of Allah's anger, you would believe that you would not ever be saved. Right? So the believer is constantly in between these two states, a state of fear and a state of hope. But at the same time, we can't say that he's between them, but both of them have their effect on him, and both of them influence his mannerisms and his behavior. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at the virtue of the fear of Allah and how the believer lies between two fears in the words of Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
This one lay. Bring us out from Ontario, Canada.
Now back to our story.
What is it in there?
We will be talking about this.
Let me bring in Leo Sazdi. He's a professor of international.
The Spotlight.
This is the second largest U.S. bank failure in history. Silicon Valley Bank held $209 billion in assets at the time of its collapse. Even after adjusting for inflation, by assets it trailed only Washington Mutual, which held $434 billion in assets when it failed in 2008 during the U.S. home mortgage crisis, which triggered the world financial crisis. So is the U.S. headed for another financial crisis? What does the failure of this bank say about the state of the U.S. economy?